Well, today we have a sermon that is going to be continuing on in a series that we started a couple of months ago on the book of Ephesians. Actually, it's based on the teaching for God's plan for his church. And we've had super good teaching from Paul on what it means to be the church. You remember some of the things that we know is that the church was originated in God's hands. It came from him. It wasn't an act of mankind coming together and forming a church. It was really originated before time by God. You know, he gave us this church that we're in far before he even created the world, which is kind of crazy, right? So another even more crazy thing is that the church's purpose is not just to reach people here, but it has an effect on angels. Right? Do you remember hearing about that with the heavenlies and to have on the whole universe? It's a universal kind of a thing, cosmic, all these things. And when we are living in the way that God wants us to as his church, it has an impact on the universe. Right? So it takes us out of the realm of our own community and our own towns and our own lives, and it brings us into this place. And what it really should do is give us a great sense of our worth to God. And also the honor of serving him in such a big way. My life has an effect on how the universe goes, right? So, you know, it shakes you up a little bit, right? There was a book written by Phil Yancey that shook up the church. It was called What's So Amazing About Grace? I really highly recommend it. We should also maybe do a book study on that. We did that. I mean, I think, you know, right when I first came to Grace Church, we did a study in Sunday school on that book. It's a really great book. But it was said by someone that Phil Yancey is going to make everybody mad in some way by writing this book. And then what he meant by that is that he was touching nerves of people in the themes that he was writing about. And basically he was saying that the church is not known for grace, right? They're just known for their moral beliefs. He mentions there was a woman who was approached by someone and said, would you like to go to church? And she said, church? Why would I ever want to go there? I feel guilty enough about myself. You know, and if I go there, I'm going to feel even more guilty, right? Well, today, our aim is not to make anybody feel guilty. And I don't think that Paul had the idea of making anyone feel guilty, but morals are a very big part of our lives, and they are important. Grace is also important, and we do have to exercise grace. And so there's going to be both at work, I think, when we take a look at this scripture today. And it's a really important one to look at together. I had a sense when I was preparing this sermon that I was giving kind of a graduation speech. You know, it's that kind of a year. We're getting to the end of the year of the school year, and we have people come up. Right? You've probably had the same experience when you graduated from some level of schooling and someone came in and they gave a speech to encourage you and to talk. I don't really remember what was said at my high school graduation, but I have attended many others for our kids and other people, and I've listened, and I really gained a lot from what they said. They were trying to help prepare young people for the world they were going into. And if we're smart, we listen to those kind of words. So if we're smart, we're going to be listening to what Paul is saying today in this wonderful passage for us. It's just a great help. What I'd like to do is kind of take a backward approach to it. I'm going to read the ending first because he gives a great summary of what he's saying in this chapter at the end from verses 15 to 20. I'm just going to read them to you again, and you can pay attention to a couple of the points, and then I'm going to go back to the beginning and we'll work our way up to those verses again and then repeat those so that you can hopefully have a good basis for remembering these values and at least try to hold on to one or two points that God is speaking to you with from his Holy Spirit today. Okay, so first in verse 15, it says this: look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Look carefully how you walk, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Debauchery is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a great message for graduates? Right? I mean, it'd be great to be able to just stand up there and say, I have something I'd like to read to you. I mean, all of our high school kids would probably be like, that's from the Bible. I didn't know the Bible had stuff like that in it. You know, but it does. It's a fabulous word for anyone, right? Just think of yourself and you, those of you who are a little bit older and graduated way back when, you know, receive it today as a graduate. And you're putting yourself in that place and you're listening to the words of God's servant, Paul, who is speaking through the Holy Spirit to us, to you, to give you advice for your lifetime as you carry on. Okay? So that was the end of this passage. Let's go back to the beginning. The beginning is just as rich, and it has some of the things that were in the summary in it, but it really is just remarkably beneficial for us. Listen to the words in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Do you know that you are beloved? You are a child of God. You are beloved. You are loved. He loves you. Imitate him. Imitate the way he loves you. Imitate everything about him. You're a child. You come from his family. You're his child. And Lee Chan mentioned that love is one of the things in the kingdom, right? So seek love. Seek him. Be an imitator of God. Who are you? What do you believe in? I'm an imitator of God. He loves me. I'm his child. I'm his beloved. My life is created so that I can love other people. Well, that sounds pretty good. Verse 2, walk in love. Remember at the end it says, what does it say? Look carefully then how you walk. Walk in love. How are you walking today? If you're not walking in love, you can begin today to walk in love. Amen? As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So let me just go through this list again. Recently, I've been going through scripture and breaking it down into kind of outlines, and it's very helpful for me. I hope it is for you too. But first of all, be an imitator of God. That's one. Second, you are beloved. Remember that. Next, walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So Christ loved me and he gave himself up for me. So I'm going to imitate him and I'm going to walk that way. He was a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. His life was fragrant. Did any of you like to smell flowers? Yeah, Evan. What do you feel like when you smell something that is fragrant like that? Calming, yeah. Mm-hmm. Take a whiff. Take a whiff and pretend that you're smelling your favorite flower right now. It feels good just to take a breath, doesn't it? But that is the way that our lives are to smell to God, right? That when the way that we are, he just breathes in deep and he's like, wow, I love John Shi. I just love him, you know? I love Gowling. I just love her to death. I love Betty. You know, I can go around the whole room, everyone, Susan, Beverly, Alex, even these guys on the eye. Now, everybody, right? God breathes in, and we want to really just have this sense, Lord, we're living a life that is going to be so calming and beautiful to his nose, his senses. He just breathes us in. But that's the way Jesus was. He was the example. He was a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. He gave his life for us. He lived completely for others. We were hearing that all during this Holy Week leading up to Easter. He gave of himself completely to others. And that's what we want to do in this world. We want to be that kind of people, to give of ourselves completely to others and not think of ourselves first. That's a great graduation theme. Go out into the world and live for others. Be a fragrance that is pleasing to God so that other people will feel good about life, that they will feel good about being alive, that they'll feel that they're loved. That's the way we look at ourselves. We are going out and we are going to be sharing with people like graduate speakers. We're going to be standing there in this society and we're going to be saying things like that to people. Okay, so now we go into this section where he's talking about the things that are not of a nice fragrance, right? We take a look from verses 3 to 5. Actually, it goes beyond that, but we'll start off here. There are three things mentioned in verse 3 that must not even be named among us. Okay, so that's a very strong way of saying we are not to have any part of these. First of all, sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness. Right, so he's going to repeat those three things again in verse 5. I just want to give you a couple of things, some stories to tell you about. I'm not going to try to describe what these things are so much today. I think each one of us is you know, old enough to be able to know what sexual immorality could be, impurity could be, covetousness. But there was a movie that we watched the other day. It was a really good film. It was called Belfast. And it's out now. But in Belfast, it's about this little boy who's growing up in Belfast at a time when the Catholics and the Protestants were fighting each other and killing one another. And he happened to be Protestant, and he lived on this street where there were also some Catholics living, but the majority of the people were Protestant. And so at that time in Ireland, the people were fighting and killing each other. And so there was this rebellion that rose up on his street, and the Protestants were attacking the Catholics. And they were doing all kinds of things to disrupt them, to try to scare them away, to drive them out of the neighborhood. And this little boy had friends, and his mother and father had friends who were Catholics. And so they didn't want to fight them. They didn't want them to move away. They wanted things to remain peaceful, and they wanted to get along and be loving and have a community where everybody lived together. Well, there was this one part of the story that stood out in my mind when I was looking at this and how we're affected by the world around us, right? Not seeking the kingdom, but we're living in the world. And the little boy there was a girl in his life who was a little bit older. I couldn't figure out whether it was his cousin or whether she was just a friend. But she was a bad influence on him. And she was always getting him into trouble at school and different things. And one day she took him and she said, "We're going to go and we're going to loot the supermarket, this store that was owned by a Catholic. We're going to go in there and we're going to break in." And they joined together with all these other people, all these adults, and they joined in. And she said, "Come on, we're going to go in there." And they get inside the store and she goes, take something, steal it." And he stood there, and I'll never forget the way he looked. He was like, "Why?" And she said, "Just take something. Just steal something." And so he looked down and he grabbed a box of detergent and he picked it up and he started to run outside with it. He got home and his mother discovered that he had this box of detergent. And she said, "Why did you steal that from that store?" And he said, "Because it's biologically safe." That's all he could think of. He didn't know. He was just totally innocent. He had no idea why he was stealing it. But he did it because everybody told him, you have to do it. When we're in the world, we are sometimes pulled into things that are way over our head, and we don't know why we're doing it. We just go along. We follow the crowd. We do it. You know, or you're not standing up for what we want. You're not living what we want. Just do it. And you're standing there. Why? I think it's a good thing for us to do that more often when we're faced with a temptation into sexual immorality or impurity or things that are not right. Why? I'm a child of God. I just heard I'm a beloved child of God. I'm supposed to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. My life is to be a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Why would I want to do something that was sexually immoral? Why would I want to look at something that is sexually immoral that I would never look at if somebody that I knew was with me? Why would I want to do that? Why would I want to look and seek out things that are that kind, right? I was reminded also of this time. I went to Nyack College for a year, my first year out of high school. And Saturday Night Fever came out. It's a movie with John Travolta many years ago. Some of you are old enough to remember that movie. And I still don't know why we went to see it. We were professing Christians. We went to this Christian school, and then we go, let's go to a movie. And somebody said, let's go see Saturday Night Fever. Well, Saturday Night Fever has scenes in it that are not pure. They're not edifying to God. They're not loving. You know, there's a lot of things going on in that movie. It was a really hot movie because people wanted to go and see John Travolta. It was a disco time. There was a lot of disco dancing. It was all this kind of stuff. And so we found ourselves there. Well, there was a young couple there. There was boyfriend and girlfriend from the school, and they went with us to that movie. And the movie had this scene. I remember it was in a strip club, and you can imagine the kind of a scene and what was going on in there. And this girl and her friend were completely shocked. And we heard her gasp when we saw the scene of this naked woman dancing on a stage in that scene. And she was like, oh, oh, oh. And she was visibly upset by that whole scene that we were all looking at in front of us. And we started to get very concerned for her. And then she got up and she left. And you could say, that was an R movie. I've seen a lot worse. There's, you know, it's not so bad in comparison to other things. But the fact of the matter is that there were things in that movie, foul language, all these different things that we were looking at, and we were going to a Christian school. But she was the only one that got up and left that theater. And you could say she was a prude. She comes from some Midwest, you know, state where everybody is very conservative, and you know, she just grew up that way, but she was right. What are we watching? Games of Thrones? What's being offered? No. What are we watching? What are we looking at? Are we saying that we are, oh, I don't do sexually immoral things? Well, yeah, you do if you watch that. Right, so we have to be very careful when we're going to church and we're teaching children and we're associating ourselves with children and we're bringing up children, or I'm a Christian baptized here, and yet when I leave here, I'm exposing my eyes and my heart and my soul and all these things to that, right? So we have to really care for that fragrance, that aroma, that pleasing one to God, and be able to say, why am I doing that? Does that fit in? Do I need that? Why? So I can say, did you watch the last episode? To say to somebody, oh yeah, I've seen that, right? It's a very subtle thing, this thing called deceit and sin. Very, very, very discreet and very, very secretive. And we just need to remember who it is that we're serving in the church. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead what? Let there be thanksgiving. That's interesting, isn't it? Don't curse, don't swear, rather give thanks. I don't know about you, but that's a very, very helpful thing to hear as an alternative to don't swear, watch your mouth, give thanks. You know, what are we thankful for? A life that's been given to us by God so that we can do something good, make a difference in the world, right? These kind of things. When I was growing up in New Jersey, I went to school with kids who attended church, but every other word out of their mouth was Jesus Christ, and it wasn't meant in thanks. Right? Jesus Christ is meant to be praised, not an expression when we're frustrated and mad at someone. Right? To spew it out in that kind of a way. It just, you know, we need to wake up and see what it is that we're being drawn into in this world and stay away from it, right? And stop it if you're doing it. And if, you know, I believe me, I know from my own experience and the way that my own shortcomings that I have thought of a joke that I wanted to say, and then I say it, and I'm thinking, why did I say that? Why would I tell someone a joke like that one when it's so crude and it doesn't fit in with my walk in love? Right? And so Paul is touching on things. This is way, way back, right? Not long after Jesus walked the face of the earth, and he's talking about the same things that we're going through right now. And so it's a great help for us, but think about it. We're going to be a fragrant offering, and we're going to be having nothing to do with sexual immorality or impurity or covetousness, wanting to like thirst after things that are not good, envying and wanting and desiring things that are not good for us inside of us. And we want to develop thanksgiving. For you can be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. So the kingdom of Christ and God is a place where that is not acceptable. Right? I was watching a film the other day for a short time, and I had to turn it off. I got so upset with the kid. I think it was a Christian film, but I couldn't watch it because I got so upset with this kid who was the son of a pastor, and he was a basketball player. He went to college, and then he got on the basketball team. He liked this girl, and he was interested in her, and he was talking to her about himself and how he was the son of a pastor, and his father had actually prayed to God and promised God that if God would save his life, he was born with the doctor said, you know, it's not going to turn out well for this baby. So you might have second thoughts about having the baby. And then his father said, God, if you will save this child and bring this child into the world healthily, I will serve you the rest of my life. And he did. And she's telling this girl all of these things, and she's looking at him and thinking, wow, this is a special kid here. And he said, I don't smoke and I don't drink. He goes in, plays basketball at this basketball game. He scores the winning basket at the end. And so all the friends take him out to this bar, and they put down shots of vodka in front of him. And they say, come on, let's get loaded. We won the game. Great job. And he says, well, I don't drink. And it was kind of uncomfortable. And they said, just one. Right? It was so right the way that they were playing this. He said, What's a big deal? One, just take one shot. What's that going to hurt? No, I really don't want to. Oh, come on, come on. We're all here to have a good time. You won the game. We can, you don't have to drink anymore after today, but just take one shot. So he takes one shot, and the girl that he had just told of his life story to, I don't drink and I don't smoke, and my father's a pastor, and she's really interested in him. She comes over to him. She sees him there, and she goes, let's get out of here. And he goes, no, I'm okay. And so they drink and they drink. And the next scene is him stumbling out of the bar and vomiting into the bushes. She takes him home to her apartment and says, I got to get you into shape. And he goes into the bathroom and he's saying, I got to take a shower. And he looks over at her and he says, you want to join me? Do you see how quickly things can deteriorate? When we have the best intentions, I can live for God. But there is an evil in this world that is seeking to destroy us. And it's very, very easy for us to cave in and to forget everything that we have thought, that we have believed in. We have to be very careful. It says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. Those were empty words. Take one shot. It's only one shot. Come on. Are you a party pooper? Come on. Everybody is here. Take a drink. No, I don't drink. Come on. Okay, I'll do it. Don't listen to empty words like that, because these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Empty words are words that are going to get you into trouble. He turns the corner. He goes into another area here. It's very useful for us as well. Walk as children of light. One time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Listen to this. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The fruit of light. Remember that. What is the fruit of light? Goodness, righteousness, truth. Graduation speech. What are you going to take with you, graduates? What are we going to take with us, graduates? We are going to bear fruit of light. I want to be known. Do I want to be known as someone who's going to take shots after a game is over and not be cared for at all by the people that are feeding me all that stuff? Or do I want instead to take that moment and say, no, I recognize that. It's not in keeping with a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to my Lord. I'm a child of light. The fruit of light is found in goodness, righteousness, and truth. Does that fit into that? Does that desire to go into that sexual immorality, to watch that film, to watch those kind of things, does that fit in with being fruit of light? If it doesn't, then you leave it. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. You want to put your effort into something? Then try to discern what is right and pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Stuart Briscoe said this, tip the scale in that moment when you're facing something that is tempting. Tip the scale in the other direction. I like that. Take that moment and tip it the other way. Suddenly, instead of feeling like mean, right? I remember Bruce Springsteen was talking about watching porn, and he said, it doesn't make me feel love. It just makes me feel mean. Tip the scale in the other direction, and suddenly, what do you have? Oh, I can breathe. I can smell the flowers. I can smell the aroma. I can smell the calmness. I can feel, because you know why? Because you're not being drawn into sin. You're not being drawn into sexual immorality, things that are going to fill you with guilt, right? So you tip the scale in the other way. You take the other direction, right? You say no to people that are trying to get you, and you look at them and you're thinking, these people don't want me to do well. These people are not looking out for my good. They want to destroy me with that kind of an attitude. I'm not taking it. I have too many things ahead. I have my studies in college ahead of me. I have my parents paying for my education in front of me. I have all of these people surrounding me and support and things like that. I'm not going to go for that, right? And it's not just college or high school or whatever graduates. It's all of us. I'm not going to throw my life away like that. I'm going to please the Lord because one day I'm going to meet him and it's going to be fabulous. And it's going to begin now. Verse 12 says, it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. 1 Corinthians 5:2 says this, why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? Why aren't you mourning in sorrow and shame? Paul is looking at the people there who were really in big trouble with sin in their church. And he's saying to them, instead of that, you're taking pride in the fact that you're doing these things wrong. It's as though they thought they were going to get away with it. Jonathan Swift was a famous writer and a satirist who wrote about politics. He was very gifted. He wrote Gulliver's Travels. And he said this, I never wonder to see men wicked, but I often wonder to see them not ashamed. You know, we were talking about how grace is important in church, and it is, that we love one another, we accept people, we don't want them to feel, you know, guilty about all they're doing because we all sin. But there is a need and a proper place for shame. And I think that we're living in a world right now where we're seeing it more and more, that people are not ashamed of doing things that are despicable in front of God. In fact, they want to turn it around the other way and say, you're the one with the problem. Right? But we have to be wise. That's what it said. Walk in the wisdom, right? There's a little quote here. It says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We want the light. We want to be in the light in that kind of a way. So we come to the summary again, the conclusion, the things that are here that we heard at the beginning. Look carefully then how you walk, graduates. Not as unwise, but as wise. Make the best use of your time in life because the days are evil. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Seek the will of the Lord. Don't get drunk with wine. It doesn't say don't drink. It just says don't get drunk with wine because that is excessive. Right? Be filled, rather, with the Spirit of God. Those are the things that we desire. If you want success, you want your kids to be successful, you want your relatives, if you want anybody in your life, the people in your Sunday school classes, you want everybody on the same page here, right? Then we are to be filled with the Spirit, Spirit of God. We're going through the Spirit in Acts on Wednesday nights now. You're welcome to join us as we look at how the Holy Spirit came in power and how we can then possess this Holy Spirit. And then at the end, it talks about what we've been doing, and God has been saying to us recently, address one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart. That is a fabulous theme to go out from graduation with. I am going to go take all that I've learned. I'm going to take everything that I've been equipped with in my life, and I'm going to go now, and I'm going to make a melody to the Lord with my life. Everything that he gave to me, all the things that I've learned, all of the skills, all the things that I thought, you know, were terrible at the time, but now I'm going to go, I'm graduating, and I'm not going to go to a graduation party and get bombed. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go, not in excess, but I'm going to go and I'm going to have a good time in a reasonable way that is pleasing to the Lord and a fragrance to him. And I'm going to live my life after that party because that party is only going to be one night. And I may never see those people ever again. But I walk with God. And so my life on that night is going to be no different from any other night that I have because I belong to him. I'm his child. And I'm going to walk with him right to heaven. Give thanks always. Are you thankful today? If you're not, God wants you to be. Think about him. Think about what you have. Just think about it. It's immense. Incredible. Can somebody give me a witness? What are you thankful for? Huh? Everything. Huh? Amen. Candy's feeling a little better. Right? Mm-hmm. And today, right? It's so easy, isn't it? And then, but when we get our minds on the things that are, you know, that are not pleasing to God, we get this kind of a look on our face, and it's like, what's wrong with that person? Right? So why not just be filled with the Spirit? You know? I know it's hard. Believe me, I fail. We all do. But God is giving us this today so that we can have hope and that we can have joy and that we can have lives that are disciplined but filled with the Spirit. Right? Disciplined but filled with the Spirit. And then we go out and we do things for others and don't think about ourselves. Right? For everything, giving thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us be and let us live to be a fragrant offering to God. Let's sing a song together to respond. Amen.